Hello, it's Lucy Wright here, and this is the talk for Sunday the 16th of July, and this is the final part of our series looking into Jude, and this is based on Jude chapter 1 verses 20 to 25. So I've got the privilege today to conclude our series on Jude, and I hope you've enjoyed studying this book together. Throughout this short book, we have been introduced to Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, and seeing Jude warn his readers about false teachers and people within the church who may be deceivers of the truth. He urges believers to hold tight to the truths of the Bible and not to be deceived or distracted. Last week, Tim spoke to us about the impact that false teachers can have on our churches, where Jude likened them to waterless clouds, wild waves, shepherds that only feed themselves, and so on. The central theme throughout this book so far is to watch out for these false teachers and to be ready to defend the faith. But as we draw to the end of this book, we see a shift in the tone. So we're going to read Jude chapter 1, verses 20 to 25. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So here we see the focus being taken off false teachers and counterfeit Christians, and the focus shifting to the Christian's life. Jude changes his tone to one of love and nurture for those he is writing to. He is now pointing us all to how we can live out our spiritual lives, having identified what we face with false teaching and those that try to lead us away from the truth. In these last five verses of Jude, we are given instructions concerning our own personal spiritual responsibilities, then our spiritual responsibilities towards others, and finally our responsibilities towards God. Notice that this passage is showing us that we must clean up our own lives before we can become effective with others. And we're going to look at this under three specific instructions as to what Jude says about what should be happening in our spiritual life. Firstly, to pursue growth. Secondly, to pray in the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, to persevere until the end. So firstly, to pursue growth. In the beginning of this passage, Jude writes, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith." Here, Jude is putting emphasis on the importance of building up in our own faith, growing in our faith. The word build in this context literally means to build upon. If you are a Christian, then you will have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And that is the foundation of the Christian faith. That is all that is required for eternal life. But by pursuing spiritual growth, this enables us to become more effective at spreading the good news about Jesus to those around us, as well as growing in our own walk with Jesus. Notice that the responsibility is placed upon us. By building ourselves up, we are to pursue growth. We are to be purposeful about strengthening our own faith. And how do we build ourselves up in faith? Well, Paul reminds us in Romans 10, verse 17, where it says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Our faith is built up when we listen to, meditate, and put into practice in our lives the teaching of Christ. We can do this for ourselves through reading our Bibles on a regular basis. And not just reading, but thinking about, dwelling on, and absorbing the Word of God. It builds us up and strengthens us in our faith. Building ourselves up to pursue growth as Christians is also sought through fellowship with other believers, meeting together, going to our Bible study or growth group, discussing what we read in the Bible together to help us understand and learn more. There are so many ways that we can grow in our faith, but the responsibility lies with us. Becoming a Christian is only the start of the journey. We need to keep moving forward in our faith. Paul puts it like this in Philippians 3. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Now, I don't know if you've been watching Wimbledon, but it always amazes me how the players miss so many of their first serves. They will have spent so many hours practicing that shot, yet they will have also received hours of coaching on how to serve, but they still miss so many of them. They are out or they have fault. Once they have learnt to serve, back when they were novice players, they didn't just stop learning and practicing to be better. It will be ongoing for them. They strive to be better. Never perfect. Even the best players can't be perfect. But better. More consistent. And that is what Paul is saying in this verse. We press on to reach the end of the race. We haven't got there yet. But we need to strive to learn more, to be more consistent, and to put faith into practice. We haven't got there yet. We are still building on it. But if we want to be effective in sharing our faith and seeing people come to faith, then we need to take this responsibility seriously and build up our own faith so that we are ready to help others too, to help them on their journey. And we should not take witnessing lightly. It's a matter of life and death. Life is too short, but eternity is too long. The second instruction comes from the second part of verse 20, where it says, praying in the Holy Spirit. As we wait for the glory of eternal life, Jude is encouraging us to pray in the Holy Spirit. We often talk about the importance of prayer here at St John's, and it's been so encouraging over the last few years how much, as a church, we have grown in our prayer life. And we are not just to pray rote prayers, but to ask God how to pray and rely upon the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit to pray effectively. Paul again gives us help with this in Philippians, where it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Here we are encouraged to bring everything to God in prayer, but not forgetting to be thankful for everything that God has done for us. When we pray in the Spirit, we ask God things according to His will, not our own selfish ambition or telling God what we want Him to do for us. Our primary prayer should be asking God for His will to be done in every situation. God knows the end. There is nothing new you are bringing to God. He's already sorted it out. Leaving things with God in prayer, whilst being thankful for what God is and what God has done in our lives, is the best way to keep building up our faith. So to pursue growth, to pray in the Holy Spirit, and thirdly, persevere until the end. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. God's love here in this passage could either be God's love for us or our love for God. But whichever it is, this command talks about us keeping up our part of a love relationship with God. In Matthew, there's a warning about this, where it says, because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Also in the book of Revelation, where it says, yet I hold this against you, you have forsaken your first love. The false teachers were disobeying Jesus' commands. Therefore, they weren't abiding in his love. No doubt you've met Christians whose love has grown cold, those who have abandoned the love for Jesus that they once had. Perhaps this describes you or has been your experience in the past. But we need to keep our love for Jesus alive and active. How do we do that? Well, through what we've already talked about, prayer, worship, meeting together, learning together, nurturing our relationship with God in our own private worship as well as when we meet together. Don't stop. The Christian walk is daily. And if you need a reason to fall back in love with Jesus or to discover it for the first time, let's just look at the last verse of this book of Jude. It says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Jude closes this letter with an amazing description of God's commitment towards us. We could have left this book feeling negative, got at even. But here is the wonderful message of the Christian gospel in three parts. God will guard you against falling. God will present you before judgment without fault. And God will present you with tremendous joy. God will guard you against falling, keep you from stumbling. He will protect you. Are you ever afraid that the devil will be too strong for you? Be encouraged that God is stronger. God is guarding you. You can rely upon him. When I was a little girl learning to swim, I was scared of the water and going under. When Mum used to hold me in the water and bob me up and down, I would cling onto her. She would reassure me that I was safe, but I kept a vice-like grip on her with my arms and legs. I would ask her to keep hold of me, and she told me she would, but I kept saying, all the time, Mummy, all the time. And she would reply, yes, all the time. She wasn't going to let me go. And God is saying that to you today. I am with you all the time. I won't let you go. I won't let you go under, fall or stumble. Think of the times in your life where you've been disappointed. Maybe your application for a job was turned down. God might have prevented you from joining the wrong company or has a better job for you. Or maybe someone rejected you and you feel hurt, but God just knew that person wasn't for you. We could often find ourselves in disappointing situations in life where we struggle to see where God is leading us. But God is keeping us from stumbling. Often we can't see the next chapter in our life, but God can. He knows what's best for us and often leads us out of situations that are not for us. You'll find that when you choose to follow God, difficulties don't cease, but God will give us victory and is leading us to a place of eternal life. And not only that, but he will present you at the day of judgment without fault, faultless, without blemish. When you think about this, it's amazing. I fall short, and I'm sorry to say, you fall short. But through what Jesus did on the cross, we are forgiven. Not perfect here on earth, but forgiven. And if we confess our sins to God, we are forgiven people. What an amazing promise. He will bring you before his presence with tremendous joy. God loves you that much that he delights in you personally. So when you finally appear before his glorious presence, when we finally see him face to face in heaven, he will be delighted to see you there and will shout with joy. This is the gospel we declare, that our God guards us, forgives us, and delights in us. No wonder we have something worth defending. That is the simple truth that we are to guard. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.